This Christmas season, our theme was a superhero Christmas. And so we've been following through in that theme. And today is the last message as we transition from 2019 to 2020. We stand at the end of 1 year and we get ready to enter another year, a moment of reflection or a possible turning point. I'm just going to share a brief story before we really dig into the message or look at this transition from 1 year to another year. So Pearl and I have the privilege of talking with our kids via, of course, I guess you call it internet. We'll call it that way. So to be able to video chat with them. And we were able to video chat with Baron Vanessa and the grandkids down in Mexico City. And it was good to connect with them. And then we were also able to connect with our son Andy and his wife Melanie and little Jack in the area of Africa. And the interesting thing that they shared with us was that a law had been passed this year, just in the middle of December, that the celebration of Christmas was outlawed. And also till the end of, that was for this year, and to the end of January, Christian joy was not allowed. So interesting, and something, you know, that we just don't think about, that something like that would be outlawed. But again, the privilege that we have of being here in Canada and how we can come together even on this last Sunday of the year and worship the Lord through song and looking at His Word. As I was reflecting on this, the year end and the transition from 2019 to 2020, of course, it's a time of year where we do a lot of reflection. And I think as a follower of Christ, this is important that we reflect on the past year and look towards the new year. And I think that the question that we should ask ourselves is, what does God want from me? As we transition into 2020, what does God want from me? Not the question that we so often ask, what can I get from God? You know, so, but rather, what does God want from me? New Year's, it's that time where we reflect and we create these New Year's resolutions. But I don't want to talk about New Year's resolutions because some of us, including myself, we've become cynical about these New Year's resolutions. Why? Because we create too many New Year's resolutions and we keep too few of them, right? That's what happens. And we do this year after year, so that's not what we want to talk about this morning. And what we want to talk about instead is this question: what does God want from you? What does God want from me? We've been celebrating the birth of Jesus. We've just finished that. And we know that Jesus is the only true superhero because that's the theme that we've been following through on this Christmas. And we looked at a few characteristics of superheroes, and then we looked at the characteristics of God, and God far exceeded these characteristics of the superheroes. In 2019, Marvel's superheroes called the Avengers Endgame movie came out. And some of you probably have watched that movie, the Endgame movie. It was released in 2019. And in that movie, if you haven't watched it, so this might create some interest, but you know, it's just, I don't know if it's worth watching. We'll leave it at that. But Thanos, an evil superhero, he had to collect 5 Infinity Stones. And he had to place these 5 Infinity Stones in a glove that he wore, so that they would all work together to accomplish his end game. That's what it was all about. It was about his end game and then the Avengers, how they tied into that end game. Well, Thanos' end game was to destroy half of all life in the universe in an effort to recreate or to allow life to refresh itself and continue. End game. So the question maybe that we need to ask ourselves if we follow along on this theme is, what is our end game? What is our end game? maybe to put it into a more practical thought or just get our minds, and this might distract us, but to realize that 2 months ago, Justin Trudeau had an end game. His end game was to be reelected, and I'll use the word serve. Some of you might wonder about that. Serve as Prime Minister of Canada for another 5 years. That was his end game. What is your end game? What is your end game? We finished celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus, the promised Messiah, God with us, Emmanuel. And we look now at our living rooms, and there's not in all houses, I know, we've got Martha Stewarts around in this world, but in many houses, the living rooms are still kind of in a chaos, in a kind of mode of destruction. Toys, paper, all kinds of things, right? You know, and not just kids' toys, but adult toys, you know, like the living room is being lived in. And we glance underneath the Christmas tree and it's empty. And we think it's all over. But that's not true. You see, that's not true. The coming of Jesus that we celebrate every Christmas is really, we could say in some ways, and I know I'm mixing metaphors, halftime. Halftime. That's really what it is. The end game is yet to come. And we need to realize that. Jesus has come. He is gone, but he tells us that he will come again. So then comes that question again. What does God want from you in 2020? If Jesus were to come back in 2020, would you be ready? Wow, I don't know if you feel comfortable with that question. I know I was wrestling with that. If Jesus were to come back in 2020, would I be ready? Would you be ready? What would you, or in this case, when I was going through this, what would I have to do to prepare for Jesus' return in 2020? It's a deep question. And I think for each one of us, the answer would be different. It would be. In the new year, we're going to start looking at 1st and 2nd Peter, two books or letters in the New Testament. And we're also going to be preparing ourselves for a soul care conference at the end of March. And so that's what we're going to do as we start the new year. But we're going to transition this morning just a little bit, because as I ask that question, you know, if Jesus were to come back in 2020, would you be ready? I want us to look at a short passage of scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1. Because I think here in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter in a way answers that question for us. So 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "My brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election." So as we look at 2020 and as we ask that question, the answer would be, To make sure, make every effort, as Peter says, to confirm your calling and your election. The early church, just like us today, were unsure as to the date of Jesus' return. They were hoping it would be soon. I think some of us are hoping it's not going to be for a while. I don't know. I remember years ago, talking to people, and people have mixed thoughts about this. When Peter pens these words, he's clearly looking at the end game. That's what he's doing. The end game is the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the end game. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, and here it is, you'll see it. It says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election." For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the end game. Just in case you missed it, the end game is to engage as an active participant in the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. At least for Peter, and for those of us that believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the end game is. And the end game is something that lasts for eternity. Confirming our calling and election is vital for us. I mean, we want to know that we're going to be there. And so Peter says that we are to aim towards that. It's not because we think that, oh, you know, like once saved, always saved, those things. That's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about our own assurance. You know, he's talking about our own assurance. So if we confirm our calling and election, then what we do is get rid of doubts. We silence the confusion that Satan tries to cause in our minds and hearts. And we assure ourselves that we have confidence. We have confidence that we're going to be there in the end game. Not sure if you noticed, but if you look at the scripture passage I just put up there, those two verses that talk about the end game, it starts with therefore. It was years ago that I learned that whenever you see a therefore, you've got to look as to see what is before that word, because that helps you to understand. And so the therefore is there, and we're going to look at what Peter says before that. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters. Okay, so what's Peter saying? Peter, a disciple of Jesus, he writes to us today, and he says in verse 3, he begins, he says, his divine power, that's Jesus' divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. And then we're there in verse 10 again. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. And you can do that through what is said earlier. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the end game, well, we can get there, or we can proceed towards the end game with assurance. With assurance that'll help us to walk steadfastly. It'll help us to walk in such a way that we don't stumble. It'll help us to walk in such a way that Satan will not confuse us. So the year we are, 2019, looking at 2020, we reflect back on 2019, and then we set our eyes on the end game in 2020. And we might ask the question, what do I have to do? What do I have to do for that end game? If Christ was to come back in 2020, would I be ready? What does that mean? You might start with, okay, I love Jesus and he loves me. But again, what does that mean? What does that mean? How does that get me to that end game? We know that we are saved by faith and faith alone, but yet we struggle so much as we live life. Why are we struggling? So we go back to Peter's words, what Peter told us. We go back to that, and we find that Peter tells us first and foremost that we have resources. That we have resources so that we can reach the end game. Look at verse 3. You have your Bibles. I hope you have them. I hope you have them open now. In verse 3, it talks about resources. He has given us his divine power. He has given us everything, it says. In fact, his divine power has given us everything that we need. Everything. To live a life that is victorious. The neat part about this is this word given us is in the past. So when you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, at that moment he has given you all the resources that you need to live a victorious life. Everything. He holds nothing back. Nothing. How does that happen? When we accept Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. God in us, the hope of glory. That's what happens. He indwells us. Thereby we have the power of God in us. He abides in us, so our resource cupboard is full. And sometimes as Christians, we just don't realize that. We don't realize that our resource cupboard is full of resources. And so we need to just open up that resource cupboard. And there we will find everything that we need. And the amazing part about this all is that if you use something, it is automatically replenished. You'll never run out of the resources that you need for living a godly life. God will supply all your needs above and beyond to live that godly life. So we got to realize here as we're standing on this threshold between 2019 and 2020, that our resource cupboard is full. What we need to do, as Peter says, is we need to appropriate those resources. In other words, dig into the resource cupboard. That's in verse 4. And the resources are found in the promises of God. Some of the promises of God, just to give you a taste of some of the promises of God, because we could spend all morning here. We could go all day probably going through the scriptures, finding the promises of God. Promises of God, forgiveness of all our sins. God promises that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Promise. All sin is gone, past, present, and future. We're adopted by God the Father into his family. So we're family members. We're family. That's why we say God our Father. He's our dad. Spiritual strength by the Holy Spirit. When the power comes upon you, Acts 1:8, that's what Jesus promised. The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, you will have power. You'll have power. And then Jesus said, you'll do greater miracles than what I've done. So in other words, when we go through the Gospels and we find in the Gospels Jesus healing the sick, the promise is that we can do that and even more. Driving out demons. Raising the dead. It is happening. It is. It is happening, not here, but it's happening around the world. And here we have encountered healings. And so we know the power of God. Many of you have testimonies of God healing you. Another promise, that he will comfort us through suffering and hardship. The provision of our needs. The hope of heaven when we die. Bodily resurrection when he returns, reigning with him in his kingdom for eternity. Like the list just continues. And it's by or through these promises of God that two events take place as we embrace these promises, as we go into the resource cupboard, as we pull this stuff out, and as we live it, what we find is we participate in God's divine nature. We find that we become more and more Christ-like. So that which is inside of us, the Holy Spirit, begins to manifest Himself in every aspect of our life. And the result of that is the end game. Is the end game. That's the result. So Peter lays this out for us. And then he says, I tell you, I've got a plan for you. Here's a way how you can change your tomorrow. Okay, so you know the resource cupboard is there. You know you need to grab a hold of the stuff in the resource cupboard. And now here is how you can change your tomorrow. And he lists seven characteristics that we ought to add to our faith. Very simple. But we need to remember that we've got all of this already. Okay, it's there. It's in the resource cupboard. So he says, first, to our faith, add goodness. What's goodness? Goodness would be our moral excellence, to do what is right. It's really our inner compass is what it is. That's what goodness is. It starts inside of us. And then he says, to goodness, add knowledge. You need knowledge to apply goodness. You know, James talks about that. He says, you know, the one that knows what he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him that is sin. So you got the goodness inside of you. How do you kind of like, what do you do with that goodness? How do you manifest that goodness in your world? You need knowledge to do that. So then he says, to knowledge add self-control. And I thought, oh, this is so fitting for our world today, because I think this is where many of us get bogged down. I know I get bogged down at times. You know, it's where we do this binging on the internet. You know, we can go like Facebook binging. We can also binge on some of our favorite TV shows. I have to be honest. I have to have a confession here. So the new Star Wars has come out, the final Star Wars. I know half of you guys don't care, you know. But the other half does, okay? The other half does. You know, the new Star Wars come out, and I thought, oh, man, I need to see it. I want to see it, but, you know, will I get my wife to go to the theater? Probably not, okay. But anyways, I need to prepare for that. And so here I went binging, right? I did the whole Star Wars thing all the way from beginning to end. Terrible, terrible, right? Oh, man, self-control. Like, was it needed? What was the purpose behind it all? That type of stuff. You know, our world, self-control is so hard in our world. The second helping at Christmas, right? The turkey, the potatoes. You know, afterwards, did we need it? Oh, man, no, we didn't. But, you know, there it is, self-control. So self-control, what it's talking about here, is this whole area of extremes for the sake of pleasure, we could say. At least once a month, to give you another example, at least once a month I get a letter in the mail. It's usually from a credit card company or a bank, and they're offering me money. I get so excited every time I see it, you know. It's just, some of you probably get those letters too, you know. And so you get these letters with a credit card. There's even a card inside, a real credit card, a real plastic card, and $5,000 or $10,000 for you, you know? And so I get excited. And I could use those cards, right? I could use all of that. But the only problem is I have to pay it all back, right? Self-control. And so the answer is no. I don't even open up those envelopes anymore. I just move them over to the garbage, you know, and just drop them in there. That's it. So whether it's money, whether it's recreation, whether it's pleasures, whether it's screen time, or a host of other things in this world, we need to learn self-control. And we, in that area of self-control, of course, would be priorities. That's why we need to learn self-control so we can prioritize that which is the best and the most important. And that's the things of God. Because that's the end game again, right? We need to look at the end game, not at today, but at the end game. So then Peter says, to self-control, add perseverance. And definitely perseverance will be a requirement in this world. If you want to honor God, you need to have that stick-to-itiveness. Perseverance. Don't give up on reflecting Jesus Christ. Even though you might feel at times you're the only one who's reflecting Jesus, don't give up on reflecting Jesus. Focus your relationship on the Holy Spirit. Perseverance, determination to stick with the Christian walk. And if you fail, try again. If you fail, try again. And that's biblical. That's biblical. So God is so good. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we're going to fail. And he tells us, try again. Proverbs 24:16. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. You know? So if you mess up, confess, get up, move forward. Perseverance, add godliness. And so here comes, remember, the goodness was inside. The godliness now comes outside. See, the godliness now is our outward actions, upward and horizontal. So vertical and horizontal is godliness. Godliness is where we reverence God, that area of godliness. We acknowledge God as God, and our behavior and everything reflects that. And then horizontal, because we realize that God loves people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Right? That's where this comes into play. From godliness, Peter says, add to it mutual affection. That's what the NIV translates it, mutual affection. It's really the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. It would be becoming part of a family. And I would say this is, again, an area that maybe some of us struggle with. Why do we struggle with it? Because our families are broken and wounded families. And so for us to live this brotherly love, this brother-sisterly love, is so difficult. Because the broken families that we've grown up in are dysfunctional. They're dysfunctional. They're families where there's power struggles going on. There's gossip. There's jealousy. There's anger. There's all kinds of things like that. And we've learned those behaviors in these broken and dysfunctional families. And God is calling us into His family. And His family is not a dysfunctional family. Oh, it is, because we're there. You know, that's true. But it's a family that's going to change, right? And it's a family that changes as we reflect Christ. And then finally, he says, add to that mutual affection, or that Philadelphia, he says, add love. You know, and love, of course, is basically seeking the highest good for others. So here you are, seven characteristics. So I don't know if you'll remember those. I hope you have your Bibles open. I hope you marked something in your Bibles as we went through these verses. But this is the way to do it, okay, as you're reflecting. 2019, 2020. Look at those seven characteristics and now say, okay, which characteristic probably needs my maximum attention? Okay? Which characteristic here needs my maximum attention? Which one, you know, do I need to work on the most? Which is in serious jeopardy? Grab a hold of that one and say, in 2020, this is what I'm going to work on. How's that for a suggestion? Because when we do this and we're focusing on the end game, what Peter tells us is that we will be effective and productive. That's what he tells us. So there is a simple formula. for trying to set goals, set direction for 2020. Remember, the resource cupboard is full. You just got to grab a hold of those resources. And here's 7 characteristics that you can focus on. Don't do all 7. You'll never make it. But grab a hold of 1. If you're really bold, do 2. But this is what I want to encourage you in. So if Jesus comes back in 2020, will you be ready?